This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise, and we want to welcome everyone and hope everyone's having a great day. I would especially like to welcome our new affiliates that have just joined HeartWise, and that our listeners in Auckland, New Zealand, Nassau, Bahamas, Hilton Head, South Carolina, and our two new affiliates in Missouri. We want to welcome you to HeartWise, and we hope we can enrich your life. I was reading today in the Associated Press, it says more than 20% of American adults took at least one drug for conditions like anxiety and depression. And this is in 2010. And this report was released by Medco Health Solutions, and they found that the use of drugs for psychiatric and behavioral disorders rose. Now, get this. It rose 22% from 2001. So that's quite a bit. And we also, the study quotes that these medications most often given to women age 45 and older, but their use among men and in young adults also climbed sharply. And they thought that these medicines were used for antipsychotics, treatments for attention deficit disorders, more than tripled. Anti-anxiety drugs like Xanax, Valium, Ativan rose 30% from a decade ago. And it makes you wonder, are we really mentally that sick in society? What's the problem here? And so they looked and they got all this information from all these, the Medco database. So I thought today on HeartWise, we're going to talk about these behavioral medications and why, as a country and as a society, as a world, our brains seem to be getting sicker. There's more drugs going on. There's more things bad. With us today, we have renowned Christian psychiatrist, Dr. Tim Jennings. He's one of the nation's leading psychiatrists. His book, Could It Be This Simple, which is available on Amazon.com, and his website, comeandreason.com, are viewed by scores of people. And we want to welcome Dr. Jennings here, and we want to also congratulate him as he's recently been elected the president-elect for the Tennessee Association of Psychiatrists. Dr. Jennings, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, I don't want to go on and talk about, but let's, first of all, let's talk a little bit. You work in the behavioral field. Why is this number going up so much in the last few years? Are we getting more disease or just more people writing more prescriptions?
You know, I think that's a great question. And just on the surface, you could argue the potential as, well, people are getting sicker.
Mm-hmm.
There's more disease. There's more problems. Someone else could argue, well, there's more identification. There's more awareness. There's more willingness of people. Some could argue that the bias against psychiatric illnesses is going away and people are more open to see a psychiatrist. So on the surface, without looking any deeper, you could argue, well, there's more illness, there's just more awareness or more willingness to get treatment.
Now, do you think over the last 10 years, with all the stresses on the brain and everything changing, do you think that are we just recognizing disease more, or are we truly being bombarded by society and we're having things hurt our brains?
You know, I think 10 years is a fairly short time to look at an effect on a population, mm-hmm. unless there's a major crisis like a, you know, nuclear accident or something like this. But if you're looking at the general effects, I think if we looked over the last 50 years, it's much more telling than the last 10 years.
But clearly we have a trend and it's not for good.
I would agree with you. And I would say there are factors in our society that are toxic to the human brain. Okay, and the factors in our society are toxic to human brain are things that increase fear and
mm-hmm.
anxiety.
Okay.
And if you, because with fear and anxiety, you get more stress hormones released in your body.
Right.
The more stress hormones increase inflammation. And I'm sure as a cardiologist, you're all mm-hmm. about the negative effects of inflammation on the heart and the vascular system, but it's also negative for the brain. And so as this chronic inflammation goes, we're going to get increasing mental health problems as well as physical health problems. And if you look in society, things that increase fear, watch the news. The news right. is all about inciting fear in people. Political races. Politicians almost always focus on aspects to make you afraid. We're going to take away your Medicare. We're not going to be able to defend ourselves against Iran. We're not going to be able to have oil to have gas. You're going to lose power. I mean, it's fear, fear, fear. And they paint these doomsday, gloomy outlooks that raise fear. So our societies do that. Families have broken down over the course of time, and families have been a great support system to help us feel love and reduce fear. Mm-hmm. But our modern society has really experienced the dissolution of the extended family support network that used to exist in the history of the human race. In Western societies, that's really not what it used to be. And that removes a great resource of strength and causes people to feel a greater sense of isolation. Isolation raises anxiety and fear, causes an inflammatory negative cascade. Television watching, mm-hmm. theatrical television watching, not educational television. So when, you know, we have a program we're going to put on here in the summer and fall, mm-hmm. that program is not going to cause a negative outcome to brain effects. Educational program does not. But theatrical television, on the other hand, multiple science and studies show it activates the emotion circuits, the fear circuits of the brain, which causes a secondary release of stress hormones that over the course of time also have a negative impact. That's just on the neurobiologic side. And then there's many studies that will show, depending on the themes and the content that's being watched, particularly in kids and in adolescents, that you can affect their value system, impacting their decision-making, that they can make decisions that are higher-risk behaviors based on television watching. Television watching has also been directly shown, theatrical television watching, to increase attention deficit disorder right. problems because of the way it impairs prefrontal cortex circuitry. So this is another factor in our society. Another factor in our society, in Western society, it's toxic to the brain, is sleep deprivation. Much of our society is sleep deprived. And we push ourselves to make more money, to get ahead, let's go without. And so without proper sleep, I tell my patients, there are four physical requirements for life and health. Air, mm-hmm. food, water, and sleep.
Right.
Most people get the first three, but you'd be surprised how many people don't realize that sleep is a physical requirement. And they think they can cut their sleep by 10, 20, 25% regularly and still function well. They can't. The brain gets significant oxidative stress with sleep deprivation. You don't get the normal circadian rhythm release of various stress hormones that help you function well. And so it's very, very detrimental to our mental health right. to be chronically sleep deprived.
Right. So in essence, you know, all these prescription medicines that are being written at alarming rates might not be getting at the core of the problem, but might just be treating a symptom.
Absolutely. I see it all the time. In my practice, patients come in and they might be on four or five, sometimes six or nine medications. And very frequently, I will begin pruning back, taking back the meds, looking at their lifestyle, saying, hey, we need to get you sleeping. We need to get you off that pot of coffee a day.
There
we need
go.
To cut back that cigarette smoking. We need to cut back the – and that was another factor I didn't quite say, but I'm weaving it in now, and that is toxins that we put in our body affect mental health. So high caffeine use, alcohol use, illegal drug use, mm-hmm. the available of mind-altering substances in our society today and the last 150 years has completely skyrocketed compared to any time in human history.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so we have all these pharmaceuticals, not from the prescription kind, but the illegal kind, that alter brain chemistry and brain function that also are factors. So when we look at helping person live in harmony with the way the body was designed to function, then and again, proper nutrition, proper rest, proper hydration, healthy relationships, so many of the medications can be reduced and taken away.
Wow, that's powerful. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, if you think about the cause of this mental health problem, you've pointed out fear damages our brain and our thought patterns, television, sleep. It only makes sense to me to get at the cause of the problem and not just treat a symptom. Now, why don't physicians and healthcare providers do this?
Well, we have a bias in our thinking that we can live any way we want, do anything we want, indulge ourselves at any time, eat any food we want, and then when we have a problem, we can go to the doctor, get a pill to fix it.
Yeah, it's slick marketing.
Yes, and I think many physicians have been trained to be symptom treaters, treat symptom, modulate disease, minimize the negative experience of the disease, rather than actually be healthcare promoters and make people healthy.
Yeah, wow, that's powerful. Well, we hope our listeners out there are thinking about their mental health, because that's where it all starts. You know, when one in four are taking psychiatric medicines or medicines that alter the way we think, it's time to think about what's causing it. So we hope everyone will think about that. I'm here with Dr. Tim Jennings. His book is available on Amazon.com. Could It Be This Simple? He's a Christian psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to improve your brain health, and perhaps you might not need behavioral medication, which one in five Americans are now taking. We're going to be right back after this short break, so stay with us.
Why am I sick?
How can I get off my medications?
How do I get better?
How can I have ultimate healing?
The Ultimate Prescription by Dr. James L. Markham answers these questions and introduces the reader to the ultimate prescription for our lives. This book is available at your local bookstore or online at Amazon.com.
I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the HeartWise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by heartwiseministries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of HeartWise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on heartwiseministries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's heartwiseministries.org.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I talk to patients every day who want to know the truth in healthcare. On our website, heartwiseministries.org, you can have your questions answered. You can read my blog where I talk about interesting and controversial subjects in medicine. You might choose to go to the radio or television sections and learn more about all sorts of health topics. Take the time and go to heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome back to HeartWise. Today we've been talking about your brain, and hopefully everyone out there is thinking. Do I have a mental health problem, or what can I do to improve my brain so I don't have to be one in the five U.S. adults who are on behavioral medications if I don't need them? Now, there are some people that need them. Our special guest today is one of our HeartWise partners, Dr. Tim Jennings. He's one of the leading Christian psychiatrists in our nation. He's written a book, Could It Be This Simple, which is available on Amazon.com. Has a great website called CommonReason.com. And we're just glad to have you here, Dr. Jennings. And, you know, we hear so much in heart disease about genetics. You know, there's certain genes, you know, that diseases passed down, and one in about five people have heart disease. I'm sure that there's bad genetics in these mental health problems as well.
Absolutely. In fact, there was a recent research I was looking at on how the human genome is deteriorating generation after generation because of the mutations that are entering the human gene pool, that basically with every generation, there's 100 new mutations,
now,
random mutations.
Now, I'm going to stop you right there. Some of our listeners might not really understand what a mutation is. Could you just briefly explain what is that?
A mutation,
it's not good, is it?
A mutation is just basically when you have a replacement of one sequence in the code with something that shouldn't be there, basically.
And so this genetics is different. It makes proteins that might not be the proteins we want. The neurotransmitters, the way we think, becomes changed.
Right. So basically with the mutations, you're passing down. And these changes are changes in the DNA code, which is like the library of information which our body is built. And imagine basically having a sentence made out of words, and the words are made out of letters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you randomly replace the letters in the words with just randomly selected letters out of the alphabet, well, that's not going to make the sentence you're reading more clear. It'll make the sentence more difficult to understand the more of those letters you replace randomly with something else.
Right.
Okay? That's what's happening to the DNA code. And with every generation, there's 100 at least minimum of 100 new random replacements of the code with a random selection that is undermining the health of our DNA. So the human race on a genetic level is slowly with each generation becoming less fit.
Okay. Now, how would you find out about this if this is happening, causing a mental health problem?
Actually, there is now, and your doctor can actually do a little swab of your cheek mm-hmm. and send off a test that can give him information to help select if you need a medication, which medication you will respond to more effectively, which medication will be metabolized more effectively in your body. And mm-hmm. it helps guide psychiatrists now with various antidepressants and antipsychotics with patients who might have more side effects on medicine X, might respond better to medicine Y because of the genetic profile the person has.
Right. So we've talked about, you know, behavioral medications and ways we can improve our brain health. We talked about earlier, but some people have these genetic mutations that they can't do anything with.
Right.
How would you help that? If, let's say, this chemical, you know, like a serotonin or dopamine or some of these chemicals in the brains are messed up genetically, how do you help those people?
Those people almost always will need some form of medication to augment.
Okay.
A good example would be a point mutation in a gene that codes for an enzyme that breaks down a brain chemical called dopamine. Mm-hmm. Dopamine helps you concentrate, focus, organize, pay attention, motivate, initiate. And there are two forms of this gene. One form of this gene is so efficient that it breaks it down so fast that you don't get any good signaling. And so those people will be more likely to have problems like attention deficit disorder. And so you can't replace the gene. You can't replace the defect in the gene. So what you can do is you can give a medicine that causes the neurons to release more dopamine so that even though this enzyme is more efficient, you can still get good signaling and it can treat those symptoms.
Wow. So Dr. Jennings, you're saying that in essence, there's a place for modern medicine, especially in genetic abnormalities. There's a place for lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And getting our brain back to the way God made us.
Absolutely.
Now, you talked earlier about fear. How does our relationship with God affect our brain and our brain's chemistry?
Thank you for bringing that up, because this is a huge thing. It's on a worldwide level that is increasing fear. Interestingly enough, the Bible did predict that Jesus said at the end of time, men would run to and fro, their hearts failing them for fear.
Fear
increasing. Well, two things that I see happening increase fear. One, the expansion of evolutionary theory that there is no God. We just happen to evolve from nothing, and we're not here for any reason. There is no purpose. We're here 70 years and gone. This incites fear. When we face life problems, we look to the issues we can't control. We feel overwhelmed by the responsibilities of life. We can't control how the future is going to come out. It incites fear. The other angle on how a person's philosophy incites fear is when people believe God constructs that put God in the light of being angry, punitive, wrathful, unloving, unkind, dictatorial, a being who needs to be begged, pled with, paid off, appeased in some way for him to show mercy or kindness. This type of a God will incite fear.
Well, you know, just when you said those words, I could feel my heart rate and my muscles tensing over here, and I bet you our listeners felt the same way. So in mental health, it's really important to have a correct view and a relationship with God that's healthy.
Absolutely. And the Bible, of course, teaches this too. Paul, interestingly enough, said in Romans chapter 1 that if they exchange the truth of God for a lie, the mind becomes depraved, futile, and darkened. And so he's saying that our minds become damaged by accepting distorted God concepts. And I can tell you, as a psychiatrist, people who have these fear-based God concepts have more anxiety, more depression, because they live in a constant state of fear and oppression.
Yeah, and what's interesting, Dr. Jennings, is out there are many people, many psychiatrists out there that really dwell on the pharmacological treatment of mental health. There's other groups that ignore the pharmacological and just focus on lifestyle. You know, you can eat your brain back to perfection. Very few of them put the balance between these two and also believe a healthy relationship with God, which is also very important, put this all together. And I'm so glad that you're stepping out as one of the leaders. I don't know any psychiatrist that puts it all together like this.
Well, I appreciate that because I have looked at us as a being who has been designed. And when we step outside the design template, just as you have a car that was designed to run on unleaded fuel and you just step out of that template and put diesel in it, you're going to have problems. When we understand God's design for how we're to function, then we work in every avenue possible to move us back in harmony with that design. And so some psychiatrists work simply trying to deal with hardware defects, brain chemistry, neurosignaling defects with pharmaceutical agents and other physical interventions.
And there's a place for that.
And there is absolutely a place for that. And I use that as effectively as I know how. And there is also a place for proper nutrition, proper lifestyle changes, because you want to keep the brain as healthy as you can to start with. But there's also another element to the brain that people forget, and that is this, what we might call the software. A great example of software would be you and I both have an English software package.
Mm-hmm.
That English software package was not genetically pre-programmed. It was uploaded after birth. And it's so deeply rooted that you and I can't even think without using it.
Wow.
Okay? We can't, can we?
No.
No.
It's impossible.
And we never even had a choice in that. Well, sometimes we can learn other things without trying. Just like our language, we didn't try to learn it. We just couldn't even help it because of the environment we were raised. Mm-hmm. We can learn other things in an environment that we never even tried that can get into our mind and operate there like that language does and have a negative, destructive effect upon us. And that's where psychotherapies, healthy, appropriate psychotherapies can come in to replace those distorted constructs and beliefs and ideas with healthy ones. And there's good brain science that shows with cognitive behavioral therapy and cognitive therapies where you're bringing, teaching people to think, mm-hmm. reason, and understand the truth and replace lies with truth, that you actually can change brain function in real time.
Well, and I'm hoping our listeners make the connection, but you know, as the brain thinks well and cuts down the stress, the inflammation, the fast heart rates, the adrenaline, the cortisol, all those chemicals can be changed just by having correct thoughts. And we're going to find out in future research through the years that you can literally kill yourself with your own thoughts.
Absolutely. You absolutely can. There's no question. And one of the problems that many people have in the field of psychiatry is that people, we'll use a computer metaphor, they're trying to fix a software problem mm-hmm. with a hardware solution. You see, they're trying to take somebody who's got a distorted thought processing going on where they have a negative image, where they lie to themselves or they beat themselves up with their own thought processes, and they're trying to fix that with a chemical fix.
Right. You know, wouldn't it be great, Dr. Jennings, that if we got this article about report 1 in 5 U.S. adults on behavioral medication, wouldn't it be great if we said 5 of 5 U.S. adults are now working on their relationship, a healthy relationship with God, understanding him better to correct some of the problems that we've had with our brains? Wouldn't that be a great headline?
Especially if it was a God of love, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Well, that's important.
Yes.
Because many out there are not giving the correct view of God. And if I was the evil one wanting to destroy your brain and health, I would give people a leader, someone to follow that he misrepresentation.
Right. And if you look through history, there have been many individuals and societies destroyed religiously through a distorted God construct.
Right. Wow. This is exciting stuff. And we're going to talk about this more as time goes on. I want to once again direct people to Dr. Jennings' new book, Could It Be This Simple, which is available on Amazon.com. His website is comeandreason.com, and he's one of the leading Christian psychiatrists. And I think it's very exciting that as we think of the health for our whole body, we start with our brain. And Dr. Jennings, I think you've done great letting us know there is a place for modern medicine, especially in genetics. There's a place for lifestyle. But it also takes that correct relationship with God to get our brain working so well so we don't have to be on all this behavioral medication.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining us here. And friends, I want to thank you and wish everyone the best of health today. And if you have any questions, we invite you to go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org or Dr. Jennings' website, which is comeandreason.com. Thank you for joining us today and stay with us and keep your brain thinking well. Letting God lead in every thought is our prayer.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.